Hello, listeners. You're once again very welcome to this, the podcast of the Irish Wood and Interiors Network. Don't forget to check us out on the web at www.iwin.ie. Today, I'm speaking with Mr. Patrick Nulty, who is an Assistant Principal Officer in Forest Sector Development at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. And today we're going to discuss something called EUTR for short, and the long version is the European Union Timber Regulation. Patrick is going to very kindly explain what it is and how it affects your business. So Patrick, listen, I have to say thank you so much for joining me this morning and for agreeing to do this podcast with me.
Yeah, good morning, William, and thank you for the invitation. I'm delighted to be here, and hello to everybody who listens to the podcast as well.
Great. Well, listen, we're going to talk about EUTR, which is the EU Timber Regulation, which, funny enough, came up at a meeting that I was at recently, and a lot of people hadn't actually heard of it. So that's how we ended up. We said we'd talk to you and you could fill us in on it. So basically, you might just explain to us, to our listeners, what is the EU Timber Regulation?
Okay, so in a nutshell, the EU Timber Regulation lays down obligations on operators who place timber and timber products on the EU single market for the first time. Operators are required to make sure that the timber or timber within the products that they source is legal in accordance with the laws of the country in which they source it. Now, the EU Timber Regulation has been in place for a considerable period of time. It was agreed in 2010 and became operational across the European Union in 2013. And our role in the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine is to act as the competent authority who enforces the timber regulation in Ireland.
Okay, well, when you say, an operator, is there a difference between like an operator and somebody who's just a trader, or is there a differentiation in how the regulations apply to different people?
Yes, indeed. So the operator is the entity who places the product on the European single market for the first time. A trader is somebody who buys or sells that product. So what the operator is required to do is exercise what we call due diligence along their supply chain and be able to trace that timber from the point of harvest right through to the point at which it's placed on the market. The role of a trader is slightly different in that what they need to do is to record transactions on that timber. So if, for example, you were to import a timber product from Canada and place it on the European market, you would be the operator. But if you were to sell that product to me, I would be the trader. And that's how it moves along the supply chain. And you have that chain of custody and traceability right along the product's life cycle to ensure legality at all stages.
Okay, well, how can operators then ensure that they comply with the EU timber regulation? I mean, you know, due diligence. What can they do?
So the regulation itself is quite a short regulation and it's very readable and accessible. So I would encourage operators not to be intimidated by looking at the legislation themselves. It's very clear, but I think the most important article within the regulation is Article 6, and that lays down what's required in a due diligence system. And there are essentially three elements that every due diligence system requires: information gathering, risk assessment, and risk mitigation. So if we take those in stages, if I'm an operator who needs to comply with this regulation, my first step is to gather the information. So that can include things like the country of harvest, how much of a volume of the product being imported, the name and address of their supplier, a description of the product. So for example, the tree species. So all that kind of body of information, that's the first step, if you like. Now, the second step is to engage in a risk assessment. So where am I sourcing this timber from? And what are the risks I need to be aware of to make sure that that timber was legally sourced? So I might take account of whether there are sanctions being imposed on a particular country or region. I might take account of the level of corruption that might be occurring in a particular region, and there's an international corruption index you can source. I might look for a harvest license from my supplier to make sure that it's legally sourced and that they have a license from the authorities, be it national or regional, to engage in that harvesting. So it's really about building up a body of evidence. And the third element is the risk mitigation. And this is kind of really important, because in every situation, whether it's business or any activity we engage in, there's always risk. You can never guarantee against risk 100%. But what we, as a competent authority, when we assess due diligence systems, want to see is how is that operator mitigating against that risk. So there is no prohibition on sourcing timber from anywhere in the world, even areas where there's a higher risk. But what we need to see is how that operator is making sure that their timber, that they're placing on the is legally sourced. And obviously the higher risk region you source your timber from, the more mitigation measures you will have to put in place. So there are the three elements: gather your information, assess the risk, and then set out how you're going to mitigate against that risk. And that's what a good due diligence system will do.
Okay, well, we've kind of touched on this a bit maybe, but what are the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine's duties and obligations then as the competent authority for Ireland under the regulation?
Yeah, so as I mentioned at the outset, William, we're the competent authority, and every member state has to designate a competent authority in order to enforce the regulation. Our duties are conducting inspections of operators and traders. We work very closely with Revenue and Customs, and they provide us details with timber that is imported into Ireland to be placed on the market. So we can then apply a risk assessment matrix to decide what particular consignments or operators we wish to inspect. Obviously, in an ideal world, we would love to inspect 100% of timber imports to all operators, but that's just not practically possible. So we look at things like the volume of the product being imported, the country of origin, is it from a high-risk location, the regularity with which the product is being imported, the tree species, so is it a particularly high-risk species, you know, that could potentially be at risk of being felled illegally. We assess all those factors and then conduct a series of inspections to see if the operator is applying due diligence. The second function we do is a reporting function. So we have to report data to the European Commission every year on the amount of inspections we have completed on an annual basis, and any corrective actions which we have conducted over the year as well, which is an instruction to an operator. And very importantly, we have to publish that report publicly on the Department of Agriculture's website after we submit that report to the Commission. So it's a matter of public record for people to see and view the work we undertake as a competent authority each year. And our final, I suppose, key task is enforcement. So there can be situations where an operator is not fully compliant with the timber regulation. And what we try to do as a competent authority is to work with them to answer any questions they have, to help them to become compliant. And what we want to see is all timber being legally sourced. So we try to approach it in a non-confrontational way, but in a way that's been working with the operators and traders. But we do have the power under SI 316 of 2014 to issue a compliance notice to an operator who is not cooperating with the competent authority in terms of demonstrating due diligence. And that's a formal legal instruction to comply with the requirements of the regulation. And failure to comply with a compliance notice, you know, can result in things like that timber being seized or being destroyed at our request. So if you like, that's a last case scenario. We try not to get to that point, but we do have substantial legal powers in our locker if required to ensure enforcement of the regulation.
And just out of curiosity, the department is available to provide sort of assistance and guidelines if somebody was to ring you up, I presume.
Absolutely. We can't tell you how to put together a due diligence system formally. We can't give direct instruction, but we can give guidance. So we can point you in the right direction of, you know, sample due diligence systems that other, for example, monitoring organizations might use. We can point you to information questionnaires and templates that, for example, the European Commission have provided. So we can definitely give a strong steer in the right direction. And when we do reach out to an operator, we always say, we encourage you to ring us and talk to us if you have questions. The worst thing an operator can do in terms of their engagement with us as a competent authority is to be silent. We would encourage you, if you have questions, you have concerns, to reach out and to call us if you receive a request for due diligence, because at the end of the day, it's in every operator and business's interest to ensure that timber is legally sourced, and it's in the public's interest as well, because if you're importing timber illegally, well then, you know, if you like, you're operating outside the framework that other businesses and consumers have to work within. You're operating outside the law, and that's not in anybody's interest.
Okay, that's good to know. The only reason I was asking you that is because I the majority of businesses obviously want to be compliant, but it's kind of about building awareness as well. And once they're aware and they can get some guidance, then, you know, we can all work together. That's why I brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say as well, we do a lot of outreach as well to businesses. So, for example, we distribute material at the National Ploughing Championship each year. And we also had a stand at the Irish Home Builders Association expose this year as well, which was an industry kind of event. So we, as much as possible, we try to get the information out there to operators about the regulation.
Perfect. Well, just Brexit is one of those things that seems to come up in every area of business. I'm just wondering if there were any consequences of Brexit for operators in respect of this EUTR, the EU timber regulation.
Yes, there were a couple of practical consequences for operators. The first, put simply, is that Britain became a third country. So Britain, when it became a third country, diverged from the EU timber regulation in that they introduced their own UK timber regulation, which is very similar to the EU timber regulation, but there is no direct reciprocal agreement between Britain and the European Union. Now, there's a couple of crucial elements here. The first is that Northern Ireland, as a result of the protocol, does still have the EU timber regulation in operation. So there is a competent authority in Northern Ireland that enforces the EU timber regulation. The second, I think, important issue to highlight here is that some businesses in Ireland may become traders rather than operators if they were in a relationship with a UK company. So when the UK, or when Britain, was in the European Union, and you imported a product, let's say from Cameroon or Canada, into Britain, that business was the operator because it was the first point at which it was placed on the EU single market. If you then exported it to Ireland within the single market, the business in Ireland would have been a trader because it was buying or selling the product. However, post-Brexit, Britain becoming a third country, if you imported timber from a British company that had been sourced from, say, Canada, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, you were then the operator because you were placing the product on the EU single market for the first time. So I think that's the big practical difference, that transition for some businesses from being traders to being operators. And that issue has come up from time to time.
Okay, well, I think it's just maybe possibly a little added complexity, which Brexit is causing in all areas of business, as I say. But yes. Let's just talk, say, what happens now then if an operator is found not to be in compliance with the regulation? And the reason I ask that is, There could be a company out there who wants to be in compliance, but for some reason they're not meeting the target. Or, you know, what sorts of systems do you have for checking that, or for helping them out, or for working with them?
Okay, and I suppose a key thing to say here, and I think it is important to get this message out there, is that with the regulation is a statutory legal obligation.
Okay.
So operators must comply with this regulation if they are importing timber or timber-based products. As I mentioned, we conduct inspections on operators on a regular basis. So when an operator has chosen for an inspection, it's not because they're being singled out or targeted in any way. It can happen to any operator at any time to check if they're compliant. So they're kind of a form of spot check, if you like. We will ask them to demonstrate to us how they exercise due diligence. Operators in a best practice scenario should have a formal due diligence document that sets out how they treat timber when they place it on the market, because a lot of operators, as you would know, might have multiple supply chains and be sourcing timber from various parts of the globe, and a due diligence system should be transferable across all their supply chains. When they provide us with that information, if we see gaps, if we see areas where the due diligence system maybe is not meeting the required standard of the regulation, we will point them out to the operator and ask them how they intend to address those concerns. And so we might ask them to undertake what's called a corrective action. And that corrective action will look at your due diligence system. If there's gaps, it will point them out and ask you to rectify them within a certain reasonable time frame. And the operators, in our experience, will tend to do that and be happy to get that feedback. If it is discovered or it's brought to our attention that an operator is sourcing illegal timber, or if an operator is refusing to comply with the regulation, we can visit that premises, as I mentioned, under the SI that I discussed earlier, and we can issue that operator with a compliance notice. We can also seek a warrant from the district court to inspect and enter that premises and seize timber if we consider it to be suspected to be illegally sourced. As I mentioned, a compliance notice is a formal legal instruction from an authorised officer. And in order to issue a compliance notice, you must have been authorised to do so by the minister. That compliance notice must be adhered to, and the instructions within it, within a set time period. And if an operator chooses not to comply with that notice, they can be prosecuted and taken to court, and that can result in very serious penalties, such as a fine. But we really try not to get to that scenario. And what I would say to any operator who wants to know if they're EUTR compliant or has a question or a concern about the EU timber regulation is to email us, contact us, reach out to us. We want you to approach us. We want everyone to be compliant. And if you do have a question about the regulation and you are an operator, you can email eutr@agriculture.gov.ie with your query.
Okay, perfect. It's just just the reason I was asking that as well is because, as I say, I mean, people want to be compliant, but then, you know, maybe something slips and you come in, you say, well, you're not compliant in this particular area. You'll give them a time frame to get their act together and catch up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, what I would say is, look, if you're making a strong effort to comply with the regulation and you're operating in good faith, don't be reluctant to engage with the department. You know, obviously there's legislation set down there that if you like, provides a framework and guides how we have to act as public service workers in our interaction with operators. And the legislation is laid down there in black and white. But compliance is a process. And, you know, if you have a question, or if we assess your due diligence system and we see that certain actions need to be undertaken to correct it, and you endeavour to do that in good faith, then, you know, operators shouldn't have anything to worry about in that regard.
Okay, perfect. Well, we've talked a bit about sort of, monitoring and compliance and checking. Yeah. So, like, what are monitoring organizations and what role do they play in relation to EUTR?
Yeah, so monitoring organizations are, if you like, third-party entities. And they essentially can evaluate your due diligence system. If you send it to them for their views on it, they can also put together a due diligence system for you if you are an operator. The European Commission has a list of monitoring organizations that it recognizes within the European Union. And so some operators, as everyone in business is very busy, we understand that. And so they may choose to bring in a monitoring organization to put together their due diligence system and help them with reaching the threshold required of the EU timber regulation. As a competent authority and as a department, we don't endorse any individual monitoring organization, and we don't have any preference about whether a business engages with them or not. But some businesses do find them really helpful in terms of getting that professional expertise and advice in putting together a due diligence system. So they play an important role within the entire framework. And a lot of operators can draw on their experience.
Okay, so it's kind of like, you get in a third party to do, say, a health and safety assessment on your business. It's like you can pay a third party to come in and offer you guidance and get you up to standard. But obviously, as you say, you don't necessarily endorse any one of them. So whether or not they do a good job is kind of between you and them.
Yeah, absolutely. The due diligence system will still be assessed by the department on its merits. So whether an operator chooses to hire a monitoring organization to do it for them, or whether they choose to do it in-house, is up to them, but there are also, I should say as well, monitoring organizations that have really good training videos and guidance notes for operators. Again, we don't endorse any monitoring organization, but just for the purposes of an example, Preferred by Nature have training videos and Q&As for operators on their website that some monitoring or some operators choose to access and have told us that they find very useful. And there are other monitoring organizations as well, but that's just to kind of give an example of the resources that are out there for operators. There is a lot of information, especially with everyone being online and tech savvy nowadays as well.
Okay, so everybody's online and tech savvy, but they're hugely busy as well. So it's great if you can access information or services that can help you with this. And like you say, the department is available as well. But just listen, are there any sort of future changes to the EU timber regulation that are likely coming up in the next few years?
Yes, there is, William, and I think this is a really pertinent question that you've asked. In the next couple of weeks, the European Parliament and the European Council will vote on a draft compromise text for what's called the EU Deforestation Regulation. And this regulation, if approved by those EU institutions, will move from what you might call legality to sustainability when it comes to placing products on the market. And it will apply not just to timber and timber-based products, but to other commodities too, such as coffee, coca, soy, palm oil, rubber, and cattle. And what that will do will place a legal obligation on operators to ensure that products that they place on the market are not produced as a result of deforestation or forest degradation. It's aligned very closely with the EU Green Deal, which we hear so much about, and it's a key commitment of the European Union that they made at the COP26 Climate Summit in Edinburgh. And it also aligns with the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So if that regulation is approved and comes into operation probably 18 months from now, so we're looking at maybe late 2024, early 2025, operators will have to provide a due diligence statement when they're importing or exporting products from the European single market, verifying that they have deforestation-free supply chains. So this is a big piece of new EU regulation that's coming very fast down the tracks. Operators should begin to examine and look into and engage with their representative organizations to try and get information on. Because assuming it's approved by the European Union in the next few weeks, which is likely, we would think as we speak this morning, that's going to be a big regulatory piece that operators will need to adjust to.
And does this have then the potential to disrupt supply chains again for businesses, or is it kind of an add-on? I know maybe that's a very broad question, but I mean, like you say, it's a complex and heavy regulation, if you will, on businesses. So people have to be aware of it now, but will they have to completely change the way they do things, or will they have to update the way they do things, if you know what I mean?
Well, what they would have to do is two things. They would have to make sure, as they do at the moment, that the product that they place on the market is legally sourced. And they would also have to make sure that the product that they place on the market did not arise out of deforestation. And they would have to make sure that there is strict traceability in their supply chains. The motivation for the regulation comes from a huge public consultation that the European Commission did across the European Union, which was, I think, the second biggest public consultation in terms of responses from the public, civil society, operators right across the Union in terms of wanting to have deforestation-free supply chain. And European economic activity, if you like, does lead to deforestation, and the European Commission published a report giving kind of, if you like, an evidential basis to that, and that the seven commodities were chosen because they're the seven commodities that contribute most to global deforestation as a result of EU consumption. So I suppose, look, we hear every day that we are in a climate emergency, and there is potential as well, I think, for operators with this regulation. Consumers are very conscious about where they source their products from, and I think operators can see it as a positive that deforestation-free supply chains will be prioritized. Part of the regulation will include an assessment by the Commission of whether the let's say timber, for example, is sourced from a high standard or low risk area. And if your timber is designated to be sourced from a low-risk area, the due diligence requirements are reduced. So there is an incentive on operators to, if you like, source material from areas where there is low risk of deforestation. And so the idea is, if you like, to have a momentum globally and eradicate deforestation and make sure we have supply chains that do not contribute to it. So it will be a challenge, I think there's no doubt, and there's lots of operational issues to tease out. But I think right now, my advice to operators would be to become familiar with it and to know that this regulation is coming down the tracks and, you know, will be enforced across the European Union.
Okay, well, listen, Patrick, I have to say, thank you very, very much for your time this morning and for giving us all that information. It was very informative, so really appreciate it.
Thanks very much, William, and the very best of luck to everybody.